today, Junior?
Did I stutter?
Poker face, poker.
Ladies and gentlemen of the
Aren't you glad I didn't say banana?
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Did I Stutter? It's comedian Drew Lynch. That's not my voice. This is my voice. Unless sometimes I stutter, then that's also my voice. So, if you're new to the show and you're joining us here on YouTube, I'm sorry about everything that you're seeing, all right? So, and if you're not, and you just listen to my podcast, and you're like, I can't handle how he looks, in fact, I don't even want to know, then I respect that, all right? Let's start right away. Every episode, I tell you about my tour dates, because I do my pants right before I do stand-up comedy, because I get so nervous. But I do stand-up comedy, okay? It's really for a living and for a dying. Because time is inevitable. Father time. So let me read some upcoming shows, and maybe they're nearby you and your family. I will be coming to Tucson, Arizona, or Tucson, if you are redneck. And then I will be coming to La Jolla, California, or La Jolla. I also will be going to Enumclaw, Washington, Everett, Washington, Olympia, Washington. I'm talking about that Pacific Northwest, Daddy. You know where all the serial killers are. I'm coming to Boston at the Wilbur. That show is almost sold out. And then I will be in Connecticut. And I am also doing Netflix as a Joke Festival here in Los Angeles in May. And then I guess I go to Buffalo, New York, because someone has to do it. And then I'm over in Europe doing all bunch of tour dates. So check my website, drewlynch.com. Get your tickets. All right. Guys, let me just go ahead and say right away, thank you so much to those of you who have come. But also gone to my shows. There we go. That was a little silly wave around that because I didn't really think I was going to stutter right there. But thank you so much for just going to the shows. I did a huge run just where I was gone for 2 weeks just now. We did the Midwest and we did the East Coast. They were hella, okay? They were helly, as I like to say. I sort of combine hell and yeah. So I just kind of go hell yeah, you know, hell yeah, like that. It's Gaelic. It's gay. And I just did Appleton, Wisconsin. That was hella fun. 5 sold out shows there. You have to say sold out. That's important because then how will people know that you're not relevant or not? You got to be bustling in the industry, son. Well, you got to advocate for yourself. This is now a character I'm doing in a Wisconsin accent. Well, you got to advocate, okay? You got to, you know, show them up. Let them know, okay? Tell them about your show. Tell them you're doing good, yeah? Okay, I don't want to go too far north, but yeah, I like hearing about it. All right, I want to hear brag about it. And I'm not a braggy type, but boy, am I Wisconsin somehow. I love that accent. Gosh, I love it. I think I love it so much because you can tell that the names of the cities were easily influenced by the accent. I think if you were to drop into any conversation that any two people from Wisconsin are having, it sounds like the names of the cities that they came up with for those that are in Wisconsin, you know? It's like, oh, Claire, do you mind helping Madison with the Fond du Lac? Oh, gosh, I'm not asking for much, you man at a walk. Just get in the kitchen and give it a good Sheboygan, right? That's just for Wisconsinites, for Wisconsinites. That was just for you guys. Nice people. They say Minnesota's nice, but man, Wisconsin, they cook their cheese in beer, and that's nice. So deal with that. The venue was a little strange, and then I'll move on to a different thing, but the venue was a little strange in that the only way to access it was to take an elevator to the third floor where the comedy club was, which was like a glorified abandoned wedding venue. It was like an old attic, like a rustic tavern, you know, where, you know, the old guy who has only one eye and says he's a Renaissance man, you know, raps on the bar and says, "I remember when," you know, and then tells you some story from his childhood 50 years ago. That was this type of place, but there was a comedy club on top of it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And the only way that you could access it was via elevator, which is fine. I mean, I think escalator would be off-putting, right? That would kind of make it seem like we're doing a stop-and-shop comedy, which we're not. So, elevator was fine. And I'll tell you, one of the shows, they had to kick an audience member out. And it is always awkward when an audience member gets escorted out. But it is even more awkward when they have to wait for the elevator. We saw the whole thing as an audience. And, you know, the security came over and was like, "All right, you're done. Come on, you're done, bud. Let's go. Come with me. You're done." Just waiting for the, okay. Nope, you had too much. Nope, you had too much. You kept talking, so we got to throw you out, bud. Just, where's this damn elevator? Where is the, is it stuck? Okay. How's your mom? She's all right? It was literally that. It was awkward. Speaking of awkward, talk about how the fact that I just did a physical act out on a podcast. If you listened to that just on Spotify and you're like, "I don't know what's happening, but it's a lot of silence. I assume something silly is going on." Pop on over. Just go ahead and pop on over to YouTube with your Beloit, okay? Take your Beloity. Take your Beloity and get on over to the Radisson in Madison, yeah? All right? Gosh. Gosh. Yeah, lacrosse, you know, gosh, go on over to YouTube and just, it might be worth a watch, all right, or some other cheap fossil. I don't really know why I like this next segment, but boy, do I, and let me know how you feel about it at some point in your life, but let's figure out who would win in a fight this week. If you're new to this segment, which we all kind of are, it is where you blindly throw out two names. And by you, I mean I do this. I throw out two names. And I talk about if in the event that they were to fight to the death in a cage match and you did not see the fighters, but you had to place a bet on who would win just based on the names alone, who's taking the cake? And so today's candidates are Rachel versus Rebecca. How do we feel about it, lads and gents? Or wait, that's two versions of dude demos. Sorry, not lads and gents, lads and lasses. How do you guys feel about it? Okay, first instinct, I think Rachel's are they're a little scrappy. Okay. Rachel is, she has the bones of a velociraptor. There's just something about her metabolism that lets her have big hands and big features. And just, she's got a shifty eye that's probably controlled from a droid within. She's a lot of claws, you know, a lot of claws. And she, you know, you might be able to look at a Rachel and be like, man, you know, like imagine if a dinosaur was a mean girl, that's what a Rachel is. Rachels, they don't key your car because they will do it with their manicures. Okay. You know how you cure yourself of a man is a manicure. I'm not proud of that joke. so I don't care. But a Rebecca, here's the deal, all right? Rebeccas have button noses. You just kind of give them a boop. I would not try to rustle the feathers of a Rebecca. But I'm just saying they're not as prominent in their features that, so, you know, as clawy as Rachel is, she's going to be grabbing for ears and for, you know, doing the two fingers in the nostril type thing. And you're not going to be able to do that with the button nose Rebecca has. I already know that. And Rebecca's are stout, okay? Like, I feel like they wear jeans, and they know how to woodwork. All right, Rebecca's, they're good with a clipboard, you know, like, I feel like they kind of organize the fight as well as be in it. I just, like, if there's someone going to the sideline to grab a piece of furniture to beat Rachel's head with, I think it's a Rebecca that is going to first do that. They have back strength, you know? Like, we're like the bra strap is just fighting. It's just fighting with her to maintain her bust, you know? She's just like, they're like her she's big hipped. She's hippie. She's hippie. And she's got like her she's got like freaking yams. You know, for her arms, and she looks, you know, it's not a doe. It's power from her past, you know? Now, if it's a Rebecca who goes by a Becca or a Becky, we have a different situation, okay? Becky's are even scrappier than Rachel's, but they're in a different weight class, you understand? They're smaller, and they're just kind of, you know, they have, like, short haircuts, and they always dye it every week, like, dye the hair. They don't need to dye it, obviously, because their metabolism's insane. But they have, like, you know, like, they're the type of people who, like, Becky's stand on the table while they eat their food. That's what a Becky does. And I'm not going to be thrown by the Sir Mix-a-Lot song, because Sir Mix-a-Lot's going to be like, you know, do the, oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. Okay. And I realize that that's not who Becky is talking. That's probably Rachel. Rachel, ironically, is the one who's like, oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. That's Rachel. That's Rachel trying to stir some shit because she has things going on at home. Okay. But a Rebecca, she absorbs it. She absorbs the pain that in her life, okay? And that's why when she, you know, after her divorce, she kind of dabbled with women, you know? And I don't blame her. She Rebecca will ride a horse bareback, you know? A Rachel will, like, cut the Achilles tendon of you, you know? Where you're like, well, that's not right. But it's a fight to the death, so who do you take? I think if a Rachel gets behind a Rebecca, it could be a wrap. You leave yourself vulnerable because they're shifty, and she might say, you know, Rachel would do some catty shit like, oh, did Kohl's have a sale? And then when Rebecca looks down at her shirt, all of a sudden Rachel's on her back chewing at her spleen, you know? So, if Rachel gets behind Rebecca, I can see how she can kind of chip away at her, you know? But if Rebecca's like a Tyson, dude, she will knock you down. Knock you to where, you know, if she gets a fist on Rachel, I mean, it's over, man. Like it's like a body print shape through the netting of the arena. Rachel's done. So anyway, guys, I really don't know why I do this segment. And eventually we're going to get into dudes fighting. I think we will. I mean, so fellas, it's coming, all right? We're going to start pinning different guys against each other, like, oh, what do you think about a Nick or a dick, right? And if you nicked your dick, I'd recommend going to an urgent care. So I also visited other places, okay? And I have so many stories. I have so many. Gather round, gather round. All I don't have right now is a fireplace and a kitten who, you know, like found us from a back alley, you know, and is like, oh, I just want to be part of a family again. My mother abandoned me, and because I was the runt in my litter, right? And I'm like, oh, come on in, little kitten. Come by the fireplace and let me tap you with my pipe, right? Oh, that there's my, I rescued that cat, right? I don't really know. So you, like, I visited to Iowa. Wouldn't recommend, I mean, I just, I wouldn't, I mean, it's fine. It was good. It's good. It's nice. I liked it. It's a good spot. It's okay. All right. Okay, Iowa. All right, Iowa. Okay, Iowa. Yeah, I liked it because we drove and we saw, on the drive, we saw not much. So that's good that they're consistent. They did have a on I-80, because I guess I'm from the boomer generation where if I tell you the route with which I drove, you need to know the exact highway I used. I was on I-80 and there was the world's largest truck stop. Huh. That's pretty. So we did the show and there was a girl in the front row. There always is. There's always just, and I don't mean that in like a, there, I mean, there's always just some freaking girl who's like, I'm going to sit close. And after each one of the silly jokes I'm doing, right, she's going, aw, aw. I'm like saying stuff, like, you know, I stuttered for over 10 years, but it's okay. I love that I did because, man, I get to do crazy speech exercises and whatever. However I get into my stupid jokes, right? And after every single thing, she's going, aw, aw. Okay? And here's the difference between an aw and an aw, all right? That kind of aw versus a groan aw, I'm okay with a groan aw. I like a good groan aw. When you hear somebody who goes, like that, I love it. Because that's natural. That's not fabricated. It is someone was so repulsed by your joke that they had to let air, like, expel from themselves. Like that, you know? A groaner. A good old groaner. I got boners for groaners, man. I love when an audience member is so uncomfortable that they just have to depress their lungs out into the ethers. But an awe makes it about you. That makes it about you. And I don't know why you think, like, I will fight a Rachel on this. If I have to, I don't think I could take a Rebecca, but I don't want to hear anybody who's like, well, maybe she was, no, okay, stop it. She was making it it was just loud enough that I could hear it. It was loud enough that people around her could hear it. And I just kind of got the sense that she just wanted a little bit of the attention. Just a little, stop it, you can save those for when you find a box of puppies, or when you find a mother who is breastfeeding in public, say it then. At a comedy show, we're not really looking for that, all right? Even the laugh where someone goes, like, it's a little irritating because you're just like, all right, just maybe open your mouth, I guess, and see what sound comes out then, I suppose. But, and I'm not going to dictate how something that isn't a natural response. You understand? If it's reactive, I'm okay with it. But an aw is active. I know it. You cannot prove me anything other than this. And then I look down, because I wear skinny jeans. I look down and the imprint of the peen imprint, okay? My peen print, okay? Was definitely an awe worthy, you know? And that's just Iowa's cold, really just kind of seeping into my materials and you know, shriveling up my stuff. So yeah, that's probably why. And I don't really blame her, not one bit. Okay, so this ep, that's how the cool kids call episodes. Okay, this ep, I know exactly what my gripe is. All right, and I know I realize I just kind of griped a little bit, and it turned into a bit of a silly at the end. But for real, this is this episode's gripe. This is my gripe.
That's my gripe. What the f***?
That's my gripe.
That's my gripe. While I was at one of the venues over the past week, there was someone who was working with her headphones in, and then I saw it again at the airport where the waiter came up and he had headphones in. How do we feel about this? I don't, I'm not trying to be the old guy who says these kids, but if I ever worked a job where I had anything on my head or ears area, I was fired via a slapping. Someone slapped me to a place where I was no longer on the premises. Have you ever been slapped out of a premises? You had to leave the perimeter because of physics? That's crazy. Just earbuds? Can I take your order? And I'm like, can I take your phone call? Because what are we doing right now? Why do you have what are you doing? Are you listening to my podcast? Because that's fine. I mean, that's okay. But I guarantee you you're not. Because I'm going to talk so much shit about this right now. Why would I not? This is my gripe this week. Why is mental, like, yes, I got it. The pandemic broke us. Oh my God, is there enough internet for everybody? How will we do without wiping our assholes? I got it. Mentally, we all were like, what are we gonna do? It was scary. Am I gonna move? Who's that guy in my house? You know, we had some wild times for the past few years. But it just kind of feels like you are avoiding culpability or accountability for whimsical and lackadaisical performance because of your mental health. And I'm going to get shit about this, but let me tell you something. I'm as mental as they come, Daddy Bear. All right? Baby Piglet. All right? You Cousin Eeyore. I know what it's like to be big time sad, all right? To be all up in my feels. So I get it. But I just think that is like, people are like, I need to have they're noise canceling. And I'm like, yeah, but you're in customer service. So how does that work? How are you able to serve if you are trying to tune everyone else out? Because your inner dialogue is working through a trauma of some kind, you know? Like, I'm trying to be like, all right, listen, everybody's got something, and I got that. I get it, All right. And we're kind of overcorrecting a little bit because generations before us were like, listen, you need to work through you. Well, who cares if your artery's cut? You need to work through it. You know, that was their thing. Right. So I got it. But I just think maybe in the middle ground is somewhat kind of nice. Right. Maybe we just strike a treaty here. And you take headphones out of your face in order to listen, because when I'm giving you my order and you say sorry and I say no, that's okay, it's just I'm sorry that you have electronics in your holes, maybe that would be why, if you tend to block the passage, then there would be no entrance, right? So Indiana Jones taught me that with a boulder. So who and what and why? Where is it? Music? Is it calming, soothing music? Do you maybe think that you wake up before work and do a little bit of Tai Chi or something? Because that's what I do when I have things. I got things. I got demons. I got a little scaredy. My demons are scared, but they're demons. And I wake up early. Sometimes I meditate. Sometimes I Tai Chi. I used to knock a IPA or toke up a little or SSRI or therapy or cold plunge or retail therapy. Do something else than putting apple bits in your fucking hole heads. I got so mad I inverted that, but I meant to say head holes. All right. You can't. Like, I was talking to somebody who said, I was talking to a venue person who said that. Whatever. I'm not even gonna get into that. The point is, I think it is a bit reflective of some of like an overcorrection, right? Which that's kind of what we're just doing all the time as a world. I was gonna say as a country, but it's really as a world. It's just every influence has an effect on something else. Every action is influencing somewhere else, and it's not the best. So we navigate just a series of like, man, this person's in office and they're saying this, or this person's doing this and they're not really here, or this person's like, and so I got it, right? Okay, and so now we're forced to like battle each other for some reason, when realistically, I think balance is the key to everything, right? That's why Buddhists tried to teach us about koi fish or something. They seem to be at peace, and balance really seems to be what they're trying to strike here. So what I'm saying is maybe just one earbud, you know? Maybe one earbud. Maybe you're not so blatantly on the phone and talking to me while I am talking to you about my salad that I need before my flight. Right? Why don't you take those out and here's what I would say, okay? Why don't you keep one of those earbuds in your face, all right? And then you put the other one near my chest and you listen to how my heart is beating so fast from rage because you keep fucking up my food order. I'm just going to start saying, let me talk to him. That's what I'm going to say. Whoever, who are you on the phone? Let me talk to him. I would like to talk to him. Or I'm just going to start pretending like I'm on the phone without earbuds. That's what I'm going to do. Or I'm going to get the old-fashioned earbuds. I'm going to get the old-fashioned ones. The ones that dangle. Yep. I'm talking that the ones that are connected. Yeah. Oh, that'll drive them crazy. I'm going to connect them, all right? And then I'm going to just let it dangle. I'm going to let it dangle, and it's not going to be plugged into anything. Mm-hmm. I've decided. That's what I'm going to start doing. And people will be like, who are you, what, like, why do you have those? It's not plugged into anything. And I'll be like, it's for my mental health. I really put in some thought on why, on what influence that would have on someone not being accountable for their actions. And I think I figured it out. I'm a bit of a, okay, I'm a bit of a philosophy. I'm a little philosophic, okay? And I think it has everything to do with technology. So much so that it started in the keyboards. Yeah. Yeah, I'm taking this tone with everybody right now. Okay? Gather around my fire. Let me pet my kitten. Okay? Aunt Drewski's got another little story to tell. If you look at history, they would show that the greatest generation, right? Or whatever they called themselves, you know, self-acclaimed. The greatest generation, the old guys, the boomers, they had to first learn to type on a typewriter, okay? And they had to put thought into what they were saying before they typed it. Because if they messed up, well, there's not really a backspace, you know? Start over. Your essay is garbage because what is... Jivijigug. Right? And so, if they got into a rhythm, ting, right? Building something. There's just something so aesthetically pleasing, not just about the sound, but about the process of just being like, next line, next line. I have my thought, next line, next line. How am I going to really make sure that I am meeting the typewriter halfway, because it's doing its job, but I have to meet it somewhere by saying, let me put in the work, right? Let me put in the work to rise to the occasion of the demands of my thoughts, right? So that is why a typewriter could inherently, especially if you're educated in a system where that's what you have, that's all you have, right, to turn in something formal or for schoolwork. There is something so final about that, which means you would have to just work a little bit extra hard. You have to work a little bit extra. And if you made a mistake, like, it was almost like you couldn't, right? And so that's not necessarily fair. I agree that this isn't a fair thing, okay? But maybe that's why that generation is so rigid, and that's why they're so calculated. And there's just some level of accountability that they would take for their own actions and the influence that would have in their environment, be it professional or personal or otherwise, okay? So then our generation comes along, right? The one after that, and the millennials and whatever. We grew up in computers. And so we typed things, right? But we had the luxury of backspace. So we would still have to kind of think, and then it would be like, well, that's not exactly it. All right, backspace. So we had the luxury of edit. You understand? We had the luxury of an edit to be able to just be like, okay, I'm trying to get it all together, and maybe you can help me just a little bit out as far as like, I just want to go back. I don't want that exact thought, but I know I'm close, so let me delete this part and then try to move forward. I can reorder it. I can edit, right? There's a little bit of, it's a little looser. You got a little bit of liberty there. Liberty. You have some liberties to... kind of manipulate what your intention was. Not so strict on the thought or the work that you'd have to put in maybe to that thought and then having to be perfect right out the bat, right? And now We have these young onions who peel the skin away from my eyes by just feeling like you have phones now, right? You have phones, and you grow up at a time where your phone is like, you mean this word. You can unsend a text message. That's crazy. You can send, not only like, you don't even have like a physical copy of something that you turned in and worked on. You just like sent it to somebody way over there. And you're like, actually, hang on, that, I meant to boomerang this shit. That is not what I meant to say. And a lot of it's not even words. Sometimes it's just faces and hands. So, I don't know, and there's probably not a lot of merit to this theory, but maybe it is a little product of your own sort of environment. We're just like, well, that's what I mean. There's not as much effort in general, but effort to try and communicate properly or effectively. Because you're not really meeting the technology halfway. It's using you. Before, we were kind of using the things. And now it's like, well, you mean this. This is your thing. Let me do the work. Wow. Man. Who knew? Grandpa Drew was just kind of crack an egg. Let it simmer. Turn that beautiful scramble into an omelet, just like so. I feel full. I wanted to also talk a little bit about my time in Baltimore, and I think most people should. If you end up going to Baltimore, you should talk about it with just a therapist. We were in Alexandria, which is just outside of Baltimore. It's a little bit closer to D.C., okay? We could see the little penis building, right? And I don't know why the crosswalks in that area count down from 60. Sometimes 70, they count down from 70. The hand blinks 70 times. I was like, what are you guys doing in your crosswalks, man? Are you having meetings? What are you in the street? What are you doing? Why so long? Why do this to the cars that are bigger than you? Is this a microwave? I'm looking to cross the street. I don't need a bag of popcorn. I don't need to be notified. I don't like to see time slip by that long. Do you know how, you know what that feels like when you're sitting in a car and you're watching something blink 60 times and you're just like, what am I doing? Gosh, I was on Twitter for a minute. So this is what happened. All right, we landed in Baltimore, okay? And we were like, listen, let's take the edge off, right? And so when we removed the crust from our sandwiches, we were like, listen, we should do something to relax us. Let's take the edge off. And so we went to a cigar lounge, and this was a beautiful moment. We walk into this cigar lounge. It's my wife, my friend Isaac, myself. We are three whites. Now, that is all of our parents' fault, okay? So I'm not trying to entirely absolve myself of blame, because I try to do things to seem not so white. You know, like limit the amount of pockets in my cargo shorts. But we're the only three white people there. So we immediately went, you know, white to white, just like so. And I, to be honest with you, I could care so little. I grew up in black church. Do you know what I'm saying? I grew up around grown men with like who were in full on decked out prom suits who would dance for 3 hours at like the best version of a hymn that you could ever hear. So I feel as cool as a pre-pickle, all right? And we walk in, and there is a little bit of that moment where I felt like this was an event that we were not, like I know that it was open to the public, but it just felt like we were at an event a little bit, and we're like, oh, man, we didn't mean to intrude or anything like that. A lady comes over, and she says, she comes over, and she says, hey, guys, and I said, hey, what's, we don't want to interrupt anything. And she said, oh, no, not at all. We're doing a celebration of life. One of the members had passed away from pancreatic cancer. I told her, I was like, listen, I want to support the cause how I can. I have my own experiences with someone in my family dealing with cancer themselves. So how can I help? How can I, you know? And she told me all about it. We got it, you know, exchange of not like, you know, pleasantries and beyond. It was a nice thing, right? We get to talking to some of the owners that are there, owners of the cigar lounge. Like, music is blasting like crazy. People are dancing. It's epic. It's how anybody should want their funeral to be, as a celebration of life. It's beautiful. And so we told them that we had a show in Alexandria, okay? So mind you, this was in Baltimore. And the place is called Aphelion, by the way. It's Aphelion Cigar Lounge. Let me find you. Yeah, Aphelion Cigar Lounge. Epic. I'll probably go celebrate my birthday there. And I told them that we had a show down south about an hour out, you know, I-95. And after the show, we would like to come back. And he said, oh, okay. Yeah, if you guys can make it, that would be great. Because on Friday nights, they do a fish fry here out in the parking lot. And I was like, I cannot wait to come back here for that. My buddy Isaac got so hyped. He was like, I'm from the South. I know exactly what you're saying. I'll bet there's going to be hush puppies. And then the guy was like, yeah, of course, it's a fish fry. Why there's not a chance there won't be hush puppies. Hush puppy. And we go to the show, and we had so much time to really get there because of the crosswalks. And we start to go, before we leave to come back to the cigar lounge for the fish fry, my wife, Mel, God bless her heart. I love her. But she is so white over the phone. When she starts talking to people over the phone, she's so white. You know, it's like, and she's immigrant white. So she shouldn't be me white. She should be like immigrant white, you know? So she calls the place, and, you know, we hear the lady on the other, hey, sugar, how can I help you? You know? And my wife makes no, she just gets so like, hello, good evening. How are you tonight? And the lady in the other line's like, good. And she's like, perfect. I was calling to potentially inquire about the frying of the sea life this evening. And Lady's like, yeah, it's still going on. And my wife's like, well, good ditty. And a day to you this afternoon. Or something like that. I'm like, Mel, why do you... She just gets so clumped. Everything gets lost in the batter with her. So she's just trying to be like, I don't know. She's just trying to be, say the exact right thing. And I totally empathize with that, I sympathize with that, because we're all trying, you know, we've all been in that moment where you're a kid and your parent makes you order and you're like, I'm eight. And like, you just did this for me yesterday. You know, that one day where your parents decide that you're an adult and that you should go to work at 8 years old. And they're like, no, go on, say what you want to the person who you've never met and you don't know how to say hi to people yet, but do that. Tell them what you want. And they're like, well, I want out of this situation. I'll never eat again if I don't have to talk to a person over a counter that I'm not as tall as in a public place. This is a Wendy's. I'm not going to be able to like casually, you know, we're not Japan. You know, Japan send babies out to get groceries and do war. I don't know what they are insane. They're insanely evolved out there. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out when Saturday cartoons when do they start? You know, and why not on Sunday? That sucks. So that's why, I guarantee it. My wife is, you know, parents are first generation immigrant and they had to learn a whole new language. It's a whole other challenge. And so, you know, when you get that anxiety of you, where you're just like, can I, you know, I just wanted to potentially see if your establishment was one that had an hour within a limitation that we are hoping to not violate this evening. Right? But I'm telling you, man, when you have to do that as a kid, telling the Wendy's worker something that you want. I don't know what kid is just going up there. Like, can I get the number 3, but can I get the curly fries instead? And I think I'm going to do a Diet Pepsi. And if I can be a small, hold the toy, I'm all right. And I will do a bowl of chili, no cheese. Like, what? Like, who's doing that, you know? No, as a kid, you're like, I like fries, you know? That's what you do. So... That's not quite Mel's fault, but man, she is so white. It gives me the male ick. She's like, hello. Hello, good evening, workers. My associates and I had gotten wind of a potential... Southern style cuisine this evening, and we were potentially looking to fill our bellies and absorb nutrients from said event. It's like, I can't, Mel, please. I'm like, give me the phone. I stuttered for 10 years. Stop it. Give me the phone. Anyway, can't blame her, but I will. I'll tell you about something else. Boy, will I. We were in the Poconos? Do you pronounce the S? Is this an Illinois situation? We were in the Pocono, which it's that, like, I don't know. That sounds like a made-up place, right? Like, you put fairy dust on Peter Pan, and he takes you over to, you know, a nightclub where Pinocchio is, like, doing the robot, and you're like, welcome to Pocono, right? And you've, like, it's a dream. So it's a real place, I guess. And I was performing there. And Pocono, that is where people take probably their mistresses. I don't know what they're doing out there. All right. They're like the people from New York City kind of drive out and they're like, ooh, let's go to the mountains and, you know, let's eat at a restaurant that looks like a house. Okay. I guess that's the appeal of the Pocono. We were staying at a hotel there because we're not from there. And that's what hotels are equipped to do. And this is the most chaos. Like, do you know sometimes when you go to a hotel and there are just kids everywhere? Unadulted kids. Unsupervised, reckless abandon. They're on top of the waffle machine and they're like shaking it, you know, and it looks like they broke in and they're on a spree, right? And they're running around. They got like towels and they're throwing their flip flops at each other and you're just trying to check in, like, and you're like, oh, okay, this is probably not how the whole weekend will go. That is 100% how it will go. They take over, man. They're like, it's like ants. It just comes in, and the mom is like, you know, she's doing her best. You know, she's like, they don't have apple juice. All they have is orange juice. And the kid's like, I wanna, and like snot is like coming out of his eyes. Right? And they're tearing the wallpaper and they're biting paintings and they're bouncing in the lobby furniture, right? Because they think, like, this is our adult. This is where, like, do you understand? This is where your dad hooks up with another woman who's not your mom. Do you know that? That's what I wanted to say to them. I wanted to be like, listen, okay, we are not even sure if you're theirs. That's how angry these kids were making me. And I don't know, do I blame? I've never been a parent to a human. So I don't know who to blame. Is it the hotel? Like, what's the hotel going to do? Right? And it was the only hotel. So that's it. That's the place. It's prison rules, really. It's whoever is more of, that's the way it's ran. That is that country now. That is that society, whoever there is more of. And the children band together in their frenzy. And like I was on the treadmill and there's like a group of kids outside of the door staring at me through the glass. Let me tell you something. All right. Let me tell you something. Okay, kids. It is just as creepy for an adult to stare at a kid as it is for a kid to stare at an adult. Okay, so I don't want you to think that it's like we're not uncomfortable too. That's a weird thing to do. All right, don't look at me. This is you. When one day when your metabolism slows down because all you have is pizza and high C and whatever you find on the ground, which is usually pennies, whenever all that catches up with you, you will be me. You will be on this treadmill right now, just trying to get to some version of your former. You're just trying to poop. That's all you want. You just want to drop a deuce this week so you don't die. That's it. You're trying to work off a mistake. Okay? You need this. In fact, you scouted out this hotel so you could get this gym, which is a treadmill that, like some of the cords are cut so it barely plugs in. It like when it inclines, it creaks and only one side of it does. And, you know, you bruise your thumb trying to push the buttons in. That I need that. My workout is like trying to start the equipment. That's my warm up. And then if it works, on the off chance that it works, I hold a makeshift dumbbell, which is just two water bottles that they offer that are opened and have backwash because the kids went and put their mouths on everything. And that's what I use to work out. So don't look at me work out. Don't look at me adult, okay? And you can't, like, there's whole floors of just kids, like, rooms, like, doors are open and people are Scooby-Dooing it, where they're flying to one and they're appearing from somewhere else. And then there's parents who are just, they're holding the cocktail, just drinking in the thing. And they're like, yeah, anyway, so I don't know. Connor, he's like, they're going to hold him back again. But he's like, he's working on it. And just like, what are we doing right now? What are we doing? This is crazy. So I don't know who to blame. I want to talk to the king kid, whoever the main kid is, right? The one who's like, the one who's the most annoying. Right? The one who he's got like a giant Fun Dip stick as his scepter, right? And he's sitting on like his sister as his throne. And he's like, anyways, you've come to my lobby, the Hilton Garden Inn. And you're like, yeah, I was hoping that maybe on floor 4, I could just have it be a like quiet around 10 p.m. And he's like, interesting. I will consider your request. But may I ask, why are you such a poopy head? And you're like, I can't. All right. Now it's starting. I'm not a poopy head. I work a lot and it would be nice to be able to get a good night's sleep. Yeah. Well, I sleep in a car bed at my house. Okay, that sounds really fun. I'll bet your car's stupid, and so is your bed. Oh, yeah, I mean, I banged your mom in my bed. What? Yeah. You were asleep downstairs, and, we got a little Loupillon Chardonnay. Now, I'm not a wine guy myself, but your mom's got the right bod, you know? Kind of levels off my temperament, keeps my cool, you know? And boy, does she love to hulu and bake. He's like, that's not my mom. You don't know. Shut up! You know, when you're under a kid's skin, that's when their comeback is shut up. Anyway, it was chaos, bro. Like, it was just, that was the worst day of my whole life. And I got hit in the throat with a softball, so. All right, team. We got one last thing, guys. Come on now. You wouldn't think I wouldn't end an episode on one of these, right? Let's get to a bad vice.
Bad vice.
This is a question that we got on Instagram. Feel free to hit me with a question at any time. Instagram, Facebook, we will be incorporating it into the podcast because that's what we do here. We listen, we absorb, we process, and then we regurgitate an answer that you're not really interested in. Here's today's bad advice question is, will the struggle in my career ever end? No. I'm not going to just leave it there like I did last week. That was a silly time. I have more advice for you. I don't really know what your career is, but that would be my leading off point, okay? But a career will always be a struggle every freaking day. A job is something where you are supposed to be held to the expectation of your employer, right? Well, little do you not know that the career you have so chosen, where you are the employer, is so much more painful,
you will not relent. You will absolutely beat your self-esteem into the ground. Because let me tell you, as an employee, oh, you're a great employee. You show up, you're eager, you just want to please. You just want to make the boss proud. But the boss, which is also you, has the responsibility of scrutiny. And this isn't good enough, and I'm not good enough because you're not good enough. That's why I said I wanted it at this time. I'm trying to demand this thing and get this meeting set, but I can't do it if you don't have that. And I'm supposed to have this time, this amount of time to do this thing, but I wasn't able to because of my commitments earlier in the day. And so now I'm stuck with you. You're an employee I simply cannot fire because I am you and you are me. And so the struggle really is internal. And if the struggle ends, that means you ended a long time ago. Boy, do I miss the days where I would have a job. Clocking in, using old corporate's time and resources. Boy, did I love it. Making myself a smoothie for free. I worked at a smoothie place. That's why I wouldn't. It would be wild if I just worked in an office and I was like, I just grabbed things from the fridge and blended them. No, I worked at a Smoothie King. Anyways, back to the advice. Boy, do I miss those days. Because the expectation was that of presence, and that was it. You understand? The lights are on, but nobody's home type of situation. That's what I really loved about being an employee. But once you were like, you know what? I would like to take some creative liberties to start making my way up into the entrepreneurial space, and perhaps I'll end up on Shark Tank. Perhaps I'll end up on television. Perhaps I'll end up on Wall Street. Perhaps I'll open a farm. Perhaps I'll become a friggin' non-profit. Whatever. Then the struggle becomes, am I enough? And if you ask yourself, that is the employee, of course you're enough. You're the best. But if you ask yourself as the boss in the mirror, you will be ever so disappointed. And it turns out it's not a mirror, it's a window. An empty yard in Davenport, Iowa. Just across from the world's biggest truck stop. Anyway. I hope that helped. I love you guys so much. I can't wait to hear from you or hear from you. I can't wait for you to hear me next week. It's going to be so much silly times. I love you. All right.